Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. The first podcast transmitted via the FaxCast Fax Machine Transmission Service. Have podcasts streamed directly to your fax machine. Visit us on the web at faxcast.com or dial toll-free 1-800-FAXCAST.
Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program.
Apparently he goes and eats in restaurants and he collects all of people's phones. He says, "I am sorry, everyone, but I must take your phones." And then he eats at the restaurant with everyone. And then he returns their phone and pays for their meal for the inconvenience.
El Chapo.
Listeners, are you in store for a treat? What wonders will we uncover tonight? Right, Drunk?
Hey, best friend.
Wonders. Yeah, don't you best friend me. I know what you're up to.
What?
You got that look in your eyes, what you got.
Well, I'm just concerned about you, buddy.
Guys, welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I am joined, of course, by my co-host, Drunkard STL, on the Twitters.
People, let me tell you about my best.
Guys, let me tell you, you follow Drunkard STL on the Twitters. It's at Drunkard STL, and he will tweet up a storm. He'll entertain you all day, all night. I'm also joined by my good friend, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello.
Hi, Travis.
How are you today, sir?
It's not been a good day so far, Travis. It has not been a good day. And Matt is also here. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype.
Why didn't you tell anybody to go follow me on Twitter? What's with that?
Well, I was being facetious, Travis. You actually tweet good things sometimes. Drunks, it's just a waste of space. Right?
Let me tell you what actually happens. If I don't tweet anything for a while, I gain followers. As soon as I tweet like more than one time in a day, I drop like 3, 4, 5 people. It's ridiculous. So I'm just going to stay away from there.
I think that's kind of the way the show goes. Like, the longer we go, the less listeners we have. Guys, phone number to contact the show, 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We have one hell of a program for you tonight, I imagine.
I believe you.
I just can tell by Drunk stepping up to the microphone that he is rip-roaring ready to go. Guys, I had a piece of poop on my front porch.
I saw that on the Facebook.
It is a very smooth piece of poop. And I believe that it was placed there. I spent a great deal of time yesterday working on my outside Christmas lights. I'm not a Christmas light expert. I'm really a beginner to the wonders of hanging Christmas lights in a festive manner to make it look good.
I think it looks amazing out there.
Do you like it?
It's absolutely stupendous.
Are you being a goof?
Why would I do that to you?
I think you would. See, because of you this whole best friend thing. We're not best friends.
I think your Christmas lights look stunning.
So anyway, I put the Christmas lights up, and you know, I'm getting to a point where I'm like, you know, I'm starting to be okay with how the Christmas lights look. I go inside after taking an Instagram point. Travis, I mean, you got to take a picture for the gram, you know?
You got to gram it.
You gotta gram that shit. By the way, yeah. In a little bit, we're going to be talking to actor Jeff Bosley is going to be on the program. He's our Instagram friend, Travis.
Sweet.
Me and
that's
Jeff,
why you gotta gram. That's how you meet people.
Jeff, the last couple of weeks, we've been liking each other's stuff, Travis. He's our Instagram pal.
That's great.
So I go inside. Let's say this is 5 o'clock. Go inside. It's beginning to be dusk. It's not dark out yet, but it's darkening. And maybe an hour or two later, I go outside to get the mail. And there's a piece of poop on my front porch. Now, I checked my Instagram picture to make sure the piece of poop was not on the front porch when I took the picture. So, like, within that hour or so, a piece of poop showed up on the front porch.
So somebody doesn't like your decorations.
Do you think that it was a critique?
I mean, did you tweak the decorations after you discovered this this human feces?
No. Do you think it was human feces? You looked at the picture, Travis. It's very smooth, the poop. But see,
I feel like it's human.
The way that it was angled, it was like right at the base of my porch, to where I don't know how an animal could have angled its asshole to. I mean, it was horizontal to the porch, to where, I mean, like, he would have had to be standing like on the first step with one foot and the other foot on my porch.
Was it pointing at a specific set of lights that maybe they didn't care for?
Now, Travis, I have a feeling that what you're doing right now is you're stringing me along, because you think...
No, not at all. I'm like, why would this thing show up after you spent all that time on decorations unless you
pissed
somebody off?
Travis, I'm not crazy here. Somebody put a piece of poop on the front porch, Travis. Somebody put it there.
I thought maybe there'd be a clue there. Like, the piece of poop was angled and pointed towards a specific set of lights they didn't like, and if you swapped it out, you wouldn't see any more poop on your porch.
So do you think it was a critique of my Christmas decorations? See, like... I don't interact with my neighbors. Like, I don't give them shitty looks. I pretty much just keep to myself. So there's no real reason why a person would have this animosity towards me to put a piece of poop on my porch. So, like, in that regard, I'm probably crazy to think someone did, because why would they?
That's really weird. I think somebody just did it. Like, it's probably kids. Like, somebody just thought it would be funny
to put a piece of poop on my front porch?
What?
To put a piece of poop on the front porch?
Yeah, I think the kids watched you walk out and...
It's poop again! It.
Do you feel, Matt, do you feel like maybe they planted it there to see if he'd slip on it? Like, they saw him in and out doing these decorations and they thought maybe he'd charge out the door and, like, slip on this piece of poop?
Oh, it's kind of Michelle
like that scene
went
from
to...
Billy Madison, except they didn't have, like, a burning bag of dog shit. They just had a single turd.
Michelle went to my Facebook to observe the piece of poop. And I am... patiently waiting for her opinions on its source.
I don't think it was placed there.
You think that it was an animal that pooped on the porch?
To me, it looked like cat poop.
No, that is not cat poop.
That's not cat turd.
Cat poop's little. It looks like a brown, crunchy Cheetos, a cat poop.
Yeah. That's definitely not a cat turd.
If anything, I would say that it was perhaps a candy bar that was sort of melted and smushed, or like a really large Tootsie Roll.
So you're saying cats only have one kind of poop? All cats only have one kind of poop.
No, well, I mean cat poop.
I don't think... But, I mean, that's a big fucking cat. And the cat just ran up on his step and dropped... Like, cats like to bury their poop.
See, it would have been very covert, Matt. I mean, it would have had to have been in a very short timeline.
Yeah. I don't think a cat would have done it, because a cat, like I said, cats like to kind of dig. They like privacy when they make duties. So it's probably like under the porch or something, not on the porch.
Could it have been raccoon or opossum?
No, see, the raccoons, they poop on my deck. And so I've seen a raccoon's poop, and this is not a, this was a, I mean, it almost looked like a candy bar, drunk.
What about
a
turtle?
I think the cats were like, old man Morris putting up his... decorations. Oh, man. Let's go put a turd on the step.
It was it was very carefully, like, almost molded. It looked like it didn't look like it came from a butt fresh. It looked like somebody, like, picked it up and
molded
it into
your
a
lights off for Halloween, or do you give out candy bars to the trick-or-treaters?
See, the last couple of years, Travis, we've gone to my niece's house to walk around with them, so we haven't been home. So, yeah, we do turn out the lights. It's not like we're hiding down in the basement and bah humbugging it.
Sure.
We're not here.
I'm just trying to piece this together, trying to do this investigation. I mean, we've only spent 10 minutes on this. I feel like if we spent some more time on this porch poop, we could really get to the bottom of it.
How would we investigate? Do you think I should go interview my neighbors and ask them if they saw anything?
Keith Morrison.
I feel like, I don't know if you've seen the new Halloween movie, but you know, like when those podcasters go and they want to talk to Michael, they want to really get to the bottom of everything. I feel like we let people know who you are and you investigate and do some interviews around the neighborhood. I think we put this together and, you know, I think we will really crack this. It's like cereal.
A friend of mine told me that I need to get one of those doorbell cameras.
Yeah, but what did he ring the doorbell and then put the turd there? Like, that doesn't help you.
Oh, does it only record if somebody rings your doorbell?
Yeah, you ring the doorbell and then it records for a certain amount of time.
I think it's got a motion sensor activated thing to it, though, don't it?
Well, you could probably go to Menards, and I mean, there's outside security systems that cost like nothing that you can constantly monitor on your phone.
Yeah, there are.
Or you can get like one of those deer trail cams. And
I feel like this is probably something that would be wise for Mike to invest in, because, I mean, this isn't the first time that he's had to deal with something like this. I mean, he had that neighbor. Didn't he have like that garbage dumpster in that neighbor's driveway that he was hearing sounds from? And we had the can of green beans that got flung towards his his door. And didn't garbage get tossed over his back fence?
I mean, bounced a can of peas off my back door.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that this is an accident.
It's not an isolated incident. No.
I think somebody is fucking with old man Moore.
Mm-hmm.
It's
probably because he was driving down the cul-de-sac one day and somebody did the real quick wave to the side.
Good point.
And all they expected was like a mic nod and he just turned his head right away or something. Maybe he didn't see him. Maybe he did.
I typically wave howdy ho to people. Like especially if they wave first.
I
feel like maybe that you should initiate some of the waves though. Maybe that's what's pissing people off.
So no, I maybe they don't like that I wave. Maybe they think that I'm being, when poor drunk was just saying that, you know, he was my best friend and I shot him down and thought that he had ulterior motives. Like maybe they think that my wave is facetious.
I mean, that's true.
See, you don't know what's going on in a person's head. You don't know. It's so confusing.
Speak for yourself.
Maybe you just need to go and say hi.
Just go around and introduce myself.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Like a tray of cookies.
Here's the issue. Like Michelle's saying, it's from like a smallish dog. It's just weird that a dog or any animal would run up on that step and just drop a quick turd and then run away.
Like a dog's Duke has, you know, breaks in it. It looks. I know what a dog's Duke looked like. This was very formed.
I could see it being a piece of dog poop for sure. I don't think that it like I just think that somebody took it from somewhere and placed
drunk.
It.
When we go on break, I want you to go look at the poop with me, and I want you to examine it and let me know what your thoughts are.
Is it still there?
I kicked it into the mulch, Travis. I mean, it's still around.
Okay,
it's not like on my porch anymore.
That'd be good for your plants come springtime.
Latex gloves, I believe so. Are you going to pick it up?
I'll pick it up. Who cares?
Do you got one of those pen lights, those flashlights you can put in your mouth while he's picking it apart?
Travis, Trunk's going to pick it up and rip it apart.
How long until Mike is like a Howard Hughes situation, is just peeing in fucking gallon?
It's only a matter of time.
I don't think I'm going to make it another year, Matt. I really don't.
Like maybe through 2019, but by the end of that, it's going to be a full breakdown.
Matt, I in the midst of all of our other issues today, I got a call. See, I was in a car accident in September. A gentleman was in the middle lane. It was a three-lane highway. I was in the far right lane. He was in the middle lane. And in the left lane ahead of us, There was an accident.
Yeah.
And he swerved into my lane to avoid the accident in front of us and sideswiped me.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled over to the side of the road. We awaited the police to arrive. The police came over. Me and him both spoke to the police. The police wrote a detailed police report, which we all have copies of, that clearly right. stated what happened. My insurance company told me that I should just talk to his insurance company because his insurance company should handle it because he was at fault. I mean, it wasn't even really a question. I've been dealing with them for like months. And the woman called me first thing this morning and said, hey, we've determined that you were 100% at fault. Mm-hmm. And I said, that's crazy what you're saying to me. It's crazy. And so she said, oh, okay, well, I'll check my notes and call you back. Well, that didn't happen. So eventually I called them. And I was like, what you guys are saying is crazy. And they said, well, he disputes that he hit you. He says you hit him, and there was no witnesses.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you guys talking about? There's a police report. And he drew pictures of what happened. And we both talked to the police officer about what happened. And so, you know, I'm dealing with that. I got poop on my porch.
Sounds like you need to get yourself
Can I tell
a
you
lawyer.
What I think is really going on with that whole situation with your insurance company or that you calling them? I think that the insurance company of the guy was like, oh, well, his insurance company didn't call us. He called us. So we think you should dispute this.
Yeah, I agree with you because from the beginning that you started telling this story, I was really concerned that your insurance company is not the one that contacted his insurance company
That's what everybody keeps saying, but that's what my insurance company said to do. They said you should call their insurance company.
Who's your insurance?
That's insane, man. Like yeah. your it's, insurance it's company garbage. Always takes care of it. Like that's always. It. You file the claim.
You got like the fucking yep. general or something?
No, I don't have the general. I went through a broker and they told me this was a reputable insurance company, but I'm learning as time goes on that is not the case.
They're trash.
Yeah,
they're trash.
They should have absolutely reached out and got you your money.
You got to at least have somebody that's got a commercial.
Your right. insurance company, like that's why you pay them. That right. stupid amount of money every month is because when this happens, they place all the calls, they arrange for the rental, they give you, like, they say, hey, where do you want to take the car to get repaired? And you say, this is where I want to take it. You drop it off. It's the closest place. They get the rental. And you don't have to talk to
but,
anybody.
But, I mean, my car well, be- is
they
fine.
They don't want to be – your insurance company doesn't want to be liable for these costs. So they should be the one saying, hey, yeah, this asshole's at fault. Let's get that guy's money because we don't want to pay to fix his vehicle.
You're right.
Like, I would call your insurance company and be like, listen, they're not taking care of this. You need to take care of this so I don't file a claim with you.
Yeah, right? Well, this whole time when I haven't worried that much about it because – the damage to my car is cosmetic. I've still been driving it around. But today, like, I think that now that they've told me, oh, well, you're the one that's at fault, I'm like, oh, no, fuck these motherfuckers. So yeah. so now I'm motivated. Now I'm going to go. Travis, the company that I've been dealing with is State Farm. State Farm is his insurance company.
They'll do everything they can not to give you any money.
Travis, have you seen the State Farm commercial
with Aaron Rodgers
about the she shed?
Yes, it's terrible.
So I have the she shed commercial.
Well, it finally happened, Zachary. Somebody burned down my she shed.
Nobody burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Well, my she shed's on fire.
Your she shed was struck by lightning.
Zachary, is my she shed covered by State Farm?
Your she shed's covered, Cheryl.
Yeah.
So her she shed is covered. And people at my work, they were talking about the she shed the other day, and they were going on and on about the she shed and saying, hey, Mike, have you seen the she shed commercial? I have not seen the she shed commercial. Look up the she shed commercial on YouTube. See, but how they describe...
Please don't say it again.
How they describe the she shed commercial to me...
Ugh.
I think if you say it too many more times that the she shed's going to appear in your living room and slit your throat.
Is I don't know. It's a Geico commercial or something.
And yeah, nobody knows the brands that are being advertised on these like viral commercials.
But then does it make a difference?
No, of course not.
I mean, like, is State Farm, by making silly commercials that are like the Geico commercials, aren't they just kind of like throwing out the idea that you should have car insurance more than you should have State Farm?
It's kind of weird because, like, they had that promotion for a while with Jake from State Farm, and that's the kind of promotion that you want where you associate blank with my product.
Right. Jake from State Farm. They wear red shirts.
Geico does have the best insurance commercials, though.
But, like, when everybody's just making silly commercials that aren't necessarily for that, and then just at the end they're like, ooh, State Farm. And it's like, nobody remembers that it's State Farm.
Well, see, I liked Aaron from eSurance, where it was like a Kim Possible ripoff. It's a big fan of that one.
Which one?
Aaron from the eSurance commercials before they merged with the General or merged with fucking Geico or whoever they merged with.
Wasn't that Jim from The Office?
He did it after whoever bought them. He was the one narrating it. But before that, it was like a Kim Possible, like, kind of
a little animation.
But I mean, like the progressive lady. I don't enjoy the progressive lady. I don't like her commercials. I think they're stupid. But you know what? I remember it's fucking progressive. And so, like, when insurance comes up, progressive I think of because they're out there. They make sense.
I have like an insurance agent guy who finds me the best insurance.
That's what I have too, but they gave me this garbage ass State Auto, Travis. No. It's terrible.
No, it might cost a little bit more, but it's not much. But he will actually every like couple of years like reevaluate our insurance needs and see if they can get a better deal with the same coverage for me.
I mean, that's pretty cool. I've never done that. Who, like, it's just a local guy.
Yeah, there's a local guy. He's like a investment guy and also an insurance guy.
Yeah, at work we have obviously one of those guys who like really fucked us this past year. But I mean, we had a lot of accidents on our policy. So,
do you think maybe
we live in a pretty small town? I would, you'd know if a person sucked or not. Like, it would get around real fast.
Travis, do you think maybe we shouldn't have led with the poop stuff?
Well, I mean, we typically do, right? It usually starts with the poop and devolves into whatever else it's going to
devolves into insurance talk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your rates like, drunk?
We start with the immature stuff and then we get real adult real fast.
Real fast. Yeah.
All right, guys, we did the poop stuff. Now it's time to talk about mortgages.
All right, let's talk about homeowners insurance. What you got Travis?
What do you guys got in an APR?
Drunk's got to have a really good one. He's got to protect
paying,
all those fucking dressers.
PMI on my shit. So
you still got PMI on there? Ooh, I made sure to negotiate that off of mine and I saved 1 point on my mortgage by reinvesting in a 15-year as opposed to a 30-year.
Do you guys think that Jeff Bosley isn't going to think we're cool?
Let's just talk to him. We'll see what he thinks about the poop, and then we'll see who he's got for an insurance provider.
I worry about it. I didn't post it on the gram, though. I posted it on my personal Facebook. I guess I need to get that. I need to get that poop out there, Travis, so we can get some thoughts on it, like how the poop was angled.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's more to this, Travis. It's not just an animal that wandered onto my porch.
What we need to do is we need to get people invested like they were in, like, Making a Murderer. So, like, amateur dicks are out there trying to figure out if the cell towers really did pick up, randomly. They're, like, making the trip. So we need people to really analyze these pictures for you and see if maybe they can.
The problem is there's no witnesses. Nobody saw the poop go up there.
I feel like if you get some dog breed, breed experts out there, that we can pinpoint what kind of dog it was. Maybe you can start investigating in the neighborhood, see where that kind of dog is.
Yeah, we have to have the poop placement tested first.
Yeah, you got to get that poop tested.
The poop tested. Okay.
Yeah, you got to find out, because what if it turns out to be human? I mean, that would be the big turn in all of this.
Yeah, I'm sure you could go to like the local college and they'll analyze the poop for you.
Just take it in like a plastic bag and say, "Here, guys, I'm gonna need your expertise."
It's all bad. He's gonna be pissing in fucking milk jugs in no time.
Did you make me some dinner, guy?
No, I didn't make you dinner. What the fuck are you talking about?
How about some cake? You got cake?
This is infuriating.
This is what best friends do for each other.
When have you ever brought me over some goddamn dinner?
Hey, yeah, he used to have a co-host who would bring him that Lion's Choice or whatever the hell that roast beef is that you fools love down there.
I don't like Lion's Choice. True. I prefer Arby's.
You get taco. You get Jack in the Box tacos once in a while. Somebody would bring them over.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Me
those
and Drunk
were the days
that kind
when Mike
friends,
got fed
Travis.
Pre-podcast.
I've never been to Drunk's house. He's never invited me. It's kind of a trend.
When would you come?
I mean, you've never invited me. Drunk's I don't want to go to your house.
I was about to say, why would I invite you when I
it's
know
an
you're
easy
not going
invite,
to
Drunk. I'm never
Maybe
going
you guys
to come.
Can watch a hockey match together.
Drunk, invite me over to watch a hockey match.
You want
to
come watch some hockey?
Yeah. Yeah, when's the next game? I'll come over and we'll watch it together.
Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
All right, I'll be there.
We'll bring you some Freddy's.
I won't go.
We're playing Connor McJesus tomorrow.
Oh, yeah? That could be a good game. We should watch it. Yeah. Like a couple of friends. Absolutely. Do what friends do, you know?
Can we get drunk at the bar instead?
See? I invite you into my home every week.
Okay.
I don't even know where your home is.
I could Skype in every week if you'd like.
That's true. You got me there, Drew. You guys are all doing a not safe for water coolers this week. Everybody on the show except me was invited.
Yeah, it's the annual Shotsmiths, I guess, right?
So, guys,
Yeah, I've done that a bunch of times.
If you're free on Friday
I
night.
I have not been invited, but I'm sure if I send a quick message to Jim, it'll be all set.
Oh, he'd invite you on.
If you're free on Friday night, be sure to check out Shotsmas. Hear everybody from WFOD
this Friday?
Except me. Yeah.
This Friday, 9 Central.
10 Central.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me
Is
just
it
find
10
Jim
o'clock
Chad
Central
in here.
Time?
10 o'clock Central.
It's 10 Eastern, 9 Central.
He told me 10 my time on the.
Maybe you're supposed to come late.
I guess.
Yeah. Just do what you're told, man.
I know.
Let's go rip that piece of poop apart and see what comes
up. Am I good for Shotsmas?
Matt, we're going to go on break. Drunk's going to rip the poop apart. And we'll report back.
Is he going to taste it?
Well, actually, we're going to talk to Jeff Bosley, and everybody will just have to wait in suspense to see what happens with the poop. But we'll be back, guys. We'll be right back.
Now, back to good, wholesome, politically correct entertainment. Oops, wrong station.
If you want your Affliction shirts back, you gotta come get them. Strangelabel.com.
You are ready and able to do beautiful things in this world. And after you walk through those doors today, you will only ever have two choices, love or fear. Choose love, and don't ever let fear turn you against your playful heart. Thank you so much.
WFOD! Angie, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I want you to tell me everything that you know about Call of Duty.
Face pwnage, shooting people in the face, you can have a rocket launcher, an AK, killing people, and capturing flags.
Natasha, hell of a job out there. You keep carrying the mail like that, and they're gonna have to give you your own movie.
Thanks. Now if you'll excuse me, I need to use the little girl's room.
Now you be careful in there.
Sounds like I'm not the one who needs to watch my back.
People are afraid, Captain. The bathroom is a sacred space for pushing Dukes out.
That's why I'm here. Giving the Incredible Hulk bathroom privileges is no longer a luxury we can afford.
Tony, he's a guy who needs to take dumps. Where do you expect him to make his dumps?
What if he's in there shitting and reads a tweet he disagrees with? People are at their most vulnerable state in there, and he's a ticking time bomb. We need to be put in check. People can't just dump where they want anymore. The world has changed.
But it's Bruce. Bruce is my friend.
So was I.
We need to evacuate the area. Banner was eating Thai chili all night last night.
Did you miss the sign, Cap? This is a civilians-only stall.
Well, then consider me an outlaw.
You just started a war!
waging war with anything. Once again, WFOD.
Welcome back. Our guest is an actor, veteran, and podcast host currently on billboards in Times Square. Jeff Bosley is on the program. Jeff, are you there?
Hey, yeah. What's up, man? Sorry I was a few minutes late.
Oh, no problem, man. And now, Jeff, you're just like the reference in the Call of Duty game? Is that like somebody just looked at your immaculate body and made it into a character in a video game? Is that...
Yeah, what they did is... It's weird because I didn't know this until I got this gig. We've all seen, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, and we see, you know, like a dude in a suit, you know, and in like tights running around and playing the character. Sorry.
Uh-huh.
And what they did is it was all still photography. And then because of technology, they were able to like digitally scan it and then throw that into the video for the like the aesthetic, the visual. But so, they still had some dude come in and put on the tights and do the physical motions of it. So
that wasn't you.
Do tights and jump over, you know, jump around and everything. And then they put the images they took of me on that palette, if you will, or on that canvas.
I guess that's kind of cool.
It was trippy, yeah, because I honestly thought they didn't tell us what the job was. Like, I had no idea what the gig was. They were like all super secret. And
you should be consulted on that, like where your image is going to be used, shouldn't you?
Well, I mean, they did, yeah, but
it
like
works
they
out.
Kept it, you know, like all the legality was, you know, full disclosure, but the literally the job Call of Duty was never mentioned. So, you know, my manager and my agent they did all their stuff, but it wasn't until I saw a post-it note and when we were putting on our little fake costumes and it said COD and I was like, this can't be that, can
it? That's a big thing.
Fast forward my mug with a big old, you know, kidnapping pedo. Like, I had the weirdest mustache. I'd actually grow out the big old handlebar mustache and everything. And next thing you know, it's in Times Square.
Now, Jeff, are you familiar with the actor Ken Jeong, the Asian guy? He was the bad guy in the first Hangover movie.
Dr. Ken.
Yeah, you said Dr. Ken. Yeah, see, Ken Jeong, he was a doctor, and then like he got the acting bug. And yep. Went to Hollywood, and we embraced him. But I feel like we shouldn't have. Because, I mean, he was a doctor. Like, that's way more important than...
We definitely took away a person who was serving society and made him run around doing, you know, adult jokes in The Hangover.
So you have like an interesting story because, I mean, you've done a lot of things. You were in the Army Special Forces. You were a firefighter. And then you saw a Jim Carrey college commencement speech and went to Hollywood.
Yeah, so blame him. It's my special forces career wrapped up, and I still was, you know, longing to do the thing that drew me to that, and firefighting was a very fun practical step. And when I was a kid, I was the guy running around, you know, wearing a cape. I remember, like, I always wore a parachute. Like, I had a G.I. Joe that came with a parachute, and I put that choker thing around my neck, and that was my cape. And then my mom finally, you know, showed pity on me and actually sewed me a real cape. And I always had that bug, and I played pretend, but I still grew up being quite practical. So my dad's an ER physician. I was raised around, you know, like, academia, college. You know, you go to college, you get your job, your career. And I did that, and college just wasn't my thing, but I always knew there was always something where every time I walked by the recruiter's office, there was always just something going, I know I want to do that. And I started getting too old, did it, and I had a great career. And then, but then finally, when I was like, okay, now what? Firefighting was okay, and I'm not knocking it. Nobody resigns firefighting. Like, nobody does that. They retire. And I was probably one of three on the planet that have ever resigned. And
you and Brian Quinn from Impractical Jokers.
Oh, he was a firefighter too? See, Travis, we have to quit encouraging these people.
Good company to be in. But yeah, so I go sitting there, and I mean, it's not a boohoo story, but it was, you know, I mean, I just went through a pretty hostile divorce, and I was there with my dog alone. You know, just when you sit there in that proverbial reevaluating life. And I had a lot of good friends in my corner. My sister was in my corner. And that's like all that perfect storm, like you said, came up. And that Jim Carrey commencement speech came up. And one of the things he said was, don't live a life of fear disguised as practicality. And that smacked me in the face hard. And I've been raised that way. Even the Green Beret world and the Army world, I mean, the firefighting world, I was still practical. I mean, I had control over my destiny. If I worked my ass off, I would be a Green Beret. If I worked my ass off, I could be a firefighter. But then I was like, you know what? I will regret this the rest of my life. So super cheesy, but I had to, you know, I was like, I'll regret it. So I had to.
Let me ask you this question. You have, like, your feet are kind of dipped in both worlds with the Army and also the video games. Yeah. And yeah, obviously you've seen the evolution of, like, the military kind of recruitment commercials, like, kind of like lending themselves more to people who obviously play, like, Call of Duty and things like that. What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting because, I mean, if you look at it, I'm 40, so it's not like I'm wise man on the mountain or anything, but, you know, we all came from social media and the internet, and all that entertainment didn't exist, you know. And now there's, I don't even use Vine, but what is that, a 6-second video? And so that's the attention span we have now. And if you're raised in that, that's all you know. So we've seen the transition, but some kids that are, you know, turning 18, you know, now or in a couple of years, that's all they know. They know cool rock star and, you know, cool heavy metal music and, you know, energy and all that stuff. So, like, the Be All You Can Be Army commercials, that bore them within the first 10 seconds. So I see why, you know, why they kind of make it so music video, so video game centric, because that's their audience. But it also kind of scares me, because that also means there's potentially Green Berets coming up someday in the world that only know being a special operations operator based on Call of Duty. And that kind of scares me a little bit.
Sure. I think that the, like, the military, it always attracts. Like, it's always weird to say this, right? Because it almost seems kind of unpatriotic, but you also want to support the troops. But the way the military recruits is like, oh man, like, look at this. This is so awesome. Like, come here. Hey, get free school. Get this, get this. And then you get into it, and there's no easy way out of it either.
I have this, and I say this a lot, but it's always applicable. So I always repeat this story, but I always called it my brochure moment. You know, you go into the recruiter's office, whether you kind of think it or you went running in the recruiter's office. But either way, you had the brochures that, like you said, sold your college tuition or your college repayment. Right. They always had to sell it. But I remember multiple times on deployments looking down at something and going, no, 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 this was not in this brochure. If I would have known this, I would have thought twice, you know. But I think it's the weirdest thing to think of. I mean, I'm not in marketing or advertising, but it's the weirdest thing to think that world, that industry, so to speak, it's advertising is to recruit a human, like a life, a soul, a human being, literally a human You know, it's not like we're recruiting somebody to buy a artificial sweetener and a Coke. I mean, they're literally saying, hey, we're going to give you this tangible object for your soul.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're serving in combat or an X-ray technician, they own your soul for 5 years or whatever it may be. And so it's funny to go, yeah, so my soul's worth college tuition. Great. Sign me up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like this, that's always kind of like, you know, I wish there was maybe, because you get these kids that are so young, and like at 18, like, I'm sorry, but everybody at 18, everybody says, oh, well, they're old enough to get in the military. You know, they're make these decisions, but you don't make great decisions at 18, 19, 20 years old.
I would not have given me a rifle at 18. I enlisted when I was just shy of 30. So I was, my frontal cortex was pretty mature and set in its ways, but it is truly weird because my best friend, he was younger. I know my brother was younger when he went in the Marines, and you know, there's an argument to be said because I mean, I have a running theory that if like that whole frontal lobe joke I just made, you know, at 18, you're so impressionable. And if you see some of the unfortunate horrors of war, I argue that's proportionate to how it affects you, you know, as far as PTSD or just kind of how it lingers for life. And I always say, like, I was kind of mentally kind of set in my way. So I saw some things and, you know, did some things, but I was able to, for whatever luck or reason, light switch that. Like, I was the one Jeff on this one side of the switch, but I was the other Jeff on the other one. And it doesn't.
Maybe that was like an age experience thing, but
It's a crapshoot. There's no way to dictate it for sure. But it was, I argue, at 18, we all know, I don't care who, if it's your favorite 18-year-old nephew or cousin or niece, it's still like, no, you're kidding me, right? You're going to be in charge of millions of dollars of equipment and a gun. That's insane. Right.
I was reading something not too long ago about something about laws that were passed. I think it was like in the mid 80s that were aimed at commercials during cartoons where to make sure there was like a separation because kids at under a certain age don't really know the difference. And they think that like Garfield is telling them that they need to buy this thing to go after.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy to think about. I mean, I base all my knowledge of the advertising and marketing world on Mad Men and Don Draper, but you gotta assume behind the scenes, they're thinking meticulously at these things on every level, malicious or otherwise. And it's terrifying to think. I mean, we could go on a whole nother angle on the whole desensitization of school shootings and all that, but it does have a weird devaluation of what you're taking in. You know, as a kid, you're devaluing a one-dimensional cartoon, big deal. But you know, you turn that one-dimensional cartoon into Call of Duty where you're slaying fools, you know, for 8-9 hours at a time. I don't know how the human psyche can process that. I don't know how it's I don't know how it's possible. And
especially you can tell that there's a lot of young people on there too, because I think I made, when I was playing Call of Duty, and I haven't played the last probably 8 games, but I made the mistake one time of turning on the sound and the microphones, and it was immediately bombarded with like a preteen voice calling me, you know, like any derogatory homosexual name they could think of at any point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not paid to play Call of Duty, so I'll blatantly say, like, I like Vegas 6, the Tom Clancy game, and I was obsessed with that. Like, I don't play a lot of games, but I was obsessed with that. And my best friend, who's actually the military guy I referenced, we would get on there and do the whole network gaming crud. And we would get on there and we'd hear these prepubescent kids from France because of the time we would play. And they would just crush us. And they're, you know, ripping on these two old guys who actually had real tactics and skills.
You turn on those mics, you find out how many people have had sex with your mother.
Oh, yeah. I know. After playing, I feel like I need to shower and call my mom and say, are you okay?
So, Jeff, when you went to the Army and you did, where did you go? Did you go overseas and do things?
Yeah, like I did the cliche Middle East stuff. I started in Fort Benning in Georgia and then did all the South. All my training was in the South pretty much. And then I ended up in Colorado.
To the Middle East and you're going over there as a representative of the country and you're doing the soldier thing, do you bring your wallet with you?
Yeah, your wallet?
Like, do you have your wallet when you go? Or do you just leave it at home?
I'm worrying there's an underlying setup here. I'm missing.
This is the WFOD classic question.
That's the question.
I will play along. Yes, I bring a wallet. Yes.
I mean, he's got to have his passport and shit with him.
Like, do you have your house keys? Do you bring your house keys with you?
You might be. Here's the thing: I might not be representative of your average person. I'm pretty OCD, and I at the time really didn't trust my wife to remember to let me in when I got home. So we weren't having problems. I was like, I was just kidding.
I've never been to war. I mean, like, do they give you a per diem, or do you have to like bring your own credit cards?
That's the thing, is it runs the gamut. I mean, and in all seriousness, yeah, there's some pretty cushy places in the Middle East where, you know, fools are getting, they take their card and they go eat at Taco Bell and you know, that's their deployment. We would often drive to those bases so we could get ourselves some Burger King. But, you know, at least our special forces were, we had, you know, like one of my last deployments, we had overtaken for lack of better terms, we'd overtaken some buildings, and that was where we stayed. But yeah, no, we there was no need for a credit card or anything like that. Like, we stole internet, so I would get online and order parts for my rifle. So I had needed my credit card for that. But I didn't bebop on missions with my
Wait, you'd order parts for your rifle, like the rifle that you were using?
Yeah. I can't speak on behalf of what we call the regular army, and that's not a derogatory term, but that just. It's kind of a blanket statement for non-special forces, but like we could do whatever we wanted essentially to our tools, our weapons, or our kit, and all our gear. And, you know, we'd all kind of want to cowboy up our stuff and, you know, yeah, you'd get on a website and order a part or a holster or a certain kind of grip for your rifle. Yeah. So, I mean, but that was the thing.
I wanted so much for you to say regular army. I really wanted you to say it like that.
Trust me, that's the thing, though. I always joke when I hopefully quote unquote make it in Hollywood, I can de-vanilla-ize my delivery. Yeah, I got some derogatory stuff to say, but you know, I don't want to piss off the wrong people.
Not yet.
Hey,
and that's why I give stand-up comedians so much credit. They can say what they want; it's their shtick.
Yeah. Do you ever, as you try to get like roles and stuff, just because of your you know, being in the military, do you get kind of shunned because of it? Or do you ever feel like you get the cold shoulder?
I've heard it kind of goes both ways because, I don't like most people aren't like, it's not because, oh, hey, you were in the military. I think if that does happen, I'm fortunate that it doesn't happen to me often, not because I think I'm all cool and all that hot, but it's more, a lot of military, and I say this, I'm tap dancing here, but I say this with all due respect, but some gunsling and bravo, like infantrymen, their social skills are a little abrasive. Yeah. And so that kind of just rubs some people, especially in a city that's Los Angeles and a little not military savvy. It can be a little abrasive and rub people the wrong way.
Right.
I'm lucky. I think that goes back to my argument. I joined when I was older. I had college under my belt. I'm very fortunate for whatever freak reason, relatively good at public speaking and reading a room. And in Green Beret world, like that was actually one of the things we had to do. We had to actually interact oftentimes with people that wanted us dead, but they would put on a face like we're best friends. So, I mean, if that doesn't emulate Hollywood, I don't know what does. So it's not that they aren't receptive, but it's worked for me. It's been fine because I'm okay with that. The only thing that I often like, if I go to a Disney audition, I don't run in and go, you know what I used to do for a living? I was a Green Beret like Rambo, and I ran around with a gun with bad guy. You know, there's no purpose putting it up. But some of my brethren, unfortunately, don't have that filter, and it can kind of get a little abrasive unintentionally. So, and then there's been an argument. I've heard argument where they're like, there are unfortunately some stereotypes where see people go, oh, he's in the military. He probably has PTSD. He's going to come in the studio and kill us all. Don't cast him. I can't speak on behalf of that. But I mean, statistically, I'm sure there's one person out there that probably has that fear, you know,
right.
It's unwarranted, obviously, but, fortunately for me, I read the room well, and I've yet to have that backfire. I think
you have a part in that Dick Cheney movie, don't you?
With Christian Bale. It's, the guy who did The Big Short. His name's, Adam McKay. He normally actually did a lot of comedies back in the day. If you ever want to Google, if you haven't seen the Will Ferrell Have you seen it? It's called The Landlord. It was on Funny or Die.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
With his, Pearl the Landlord.
This is that guy, the guy that did that with Will Ferrell. He's actually the director of these movies. He all went dramatic on us. And this is the Dick Cheney thing with Christian Bale. And I'm not biased. This thing looks awesome. When I met Christian Bale, I was stupefied.
You were on set with Christian Bale then, right?
Yeah, we had scenes and I was cast. And here's the weird side story. Yeah, we had scenes and he introduced him. I was on 2 weeks and he's like, he goes, I'm Christian. And he's way crazy polite. I don't know how much we've surfed the internet, but there's a lot of horror stories about the guy. He, right hand of God, he was nothing but polite.
Oh, good for you.
That's one of my favorite things ever when he was shouting at the lighting guy for walking into his blocking.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Good for you.
That one. Well, he wasn't that guy, believe it or not. He was quite polite. And, we all probably have bad days, but he was crazy cool to me.
I imagine if something like that comes out about you and it's everybody's playing it still to this day,
you probably have to go out of your way.
You lock it up.
You gotta look at yourself and say, "I gotta make some changes." A bit.
I mean, I can't imagine I'm just guessing his PR team probably was, really clenched that day when that hit the internet.
clenched.
I'll do something small and trivial, and my manager will text me in the middle of the conversation. I'll feel my phone ding, and I'm like, I screwed up on that.
That's funny.
So I can't imagine what Christian Bale's team was doing, but he was crazy cool. He was so awesome to watch. I actually got cast as a different role. I had all my lines memorized, but I'm 6'5", and he's taller compared to some other people, but they actually recast me after our first shot, because when you set up a shot, if you're taking pictures of, just anybody in Yellowstone Park, if you put a tall person next to a short person, all that space above the short person looks kind of crappy.
So Christian Bale got you whacked. He just did it low key.
Again, I could speculate, but I'm giving the benefit of the doubt.
Get this tall guy out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Good for you for being tall. Look at the tall monkey. That's not what happened. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that the frame of the shot just looked like crap, and they recast me on that in the moment. So I was I'm a little butthurt, but I would do the same thing.
So guys, if you're on the social medias, you check Jeff out. The Jeff Bosley on just about everything. If you play Call of Duty 4, play the guy with the dog. That's Jeff. And see see the Dick Cheney movie, because he's in it. And when you spot him, and nudge your wife or whatever.
Yeah. And there's a huge movie coming out with, I don't know if Kevin Durand. He was on, he was the bad guy Kimi on Lost. I always blank on the vampire movie.
I thought he was a basketball player.
He was in that. No, that's Kevin Durant.
Isn't that what you just said? Durant,
it threw me off because he played a hockey player once. He was on The Strain on FX. He and I have a movie coming to Korea this year, and it's going to be awesome. He's another tall guy, so that's why he and I were great Danes that just kind of hung out and bonded over how cool and tall we were.
Jeff, I appreciate you calling in. It was fun. We should do it again sometime.
I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you.
Take it easy.
It's a pleasure, Jeff.
All right, take care, everyone. Bye.
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 And Travis, I like Jeff.
Yeah, me too. I like Jeff.
He seems like a nice guy.
A well put together man. He's got he knows what he wants. He's had a couple of different careers, right? He's a go getter. He seems like I like him a lot.
He was tempted to go to Hollywood because of a Jim Carrey college commencement.
Oh, God damn it. You know what I thought as we were talking, and we talked about that a couple of times.
We always wanted
to ask if he had ever reached out to Jim Carrey and said thank you.
Charles, I didn't
get him back on the phone.
I didn't have the balls to ask him, but I'm insanely curious. If you go to Jeff Bosley's Instagram page,
he's a pretty man, by the way.
He's a good looking guy. He's well put together, Travis. But I believe
he said he was 40. He's 2 years older than me. I look 10 years older than him. It's ridiculous.
Travis, I believe he has the Monster Energy drink symbol tattooed on his chest. I'm pretty sure he does. But I just didn't. muster up the courage to ask him about it, Travis, because it's probably not that. And then
You're Instagram friends. Why don't you just talk to him on the sly?
Travis, what would happen is...
I don't know
is,
why you wouldn't ask him. I think Jeff would have answered anything and
I would have okay like with a, it. I would have looked right. like a fool. I didn't want to look foolish in front of Jeff
I don't think
Bosley.
You would have looked foolish. Jeff was really a fucking great... talk to
Jeff.
Like,
Jeff has a Jeff has a podcast, guys. I think it's like a Patreon exclusive. Yeah, I think you have to subscribe to it or something. Like you can't just listen to
it's behind the paywall.
Yeah, yeah. But Jeff, he's a talker. I like Jeff. We should have Jeff on again. He was fun.
I agree.
So guys, I mean, is that what we got? That's what we got, right?
I don't know. I thought you guys were gonna pull apart some poop.
We didn't pull apart the poop, Travis. I got sidetracked. We didn't pull apart the poop.
All right.
So
well, maybe that's for a next for a further episode down the line.
I guess. Yeah. 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 So, guys, I mean, do you have picks of the week? Do you want to do picks of the week, Drunk? Do you have a pick of the week? Something you want the people to know about, Drunk?
Nope.
Guys, we're doing a second show.
I'll do a pick of the week. Shotsmith special Friday, 9 p.m. Central.
The entire WFOD crew will be on that show.
Yeah, I just got my invite from Jim Chadman.
You didn't. You didn't, Matt. So, you didn't, really?
Yeah, I did.
So everybody from this show will be on the Shotsmiths.
Guys, I wasn't invited to it.
Friday.
It's right
December
here.
7th, 10, 9 Central, here, right here on Strange Label.
I said, Travis, Jim, am I good for Shotsmiths? And his reply was, yeah, of course. Why wouldn't we have you on?
You bet your ass.
Huh.
There's a lot more people I'm going to have to tell to take shots to.
So, guys...
I get to be the mayor.
I'm never there for the whole show. Like, I just punch in and punch out.
Pop in, pop out.
Yeah.
Like George Costanza.
Matt, pick of the week.
Leave on a high note.
Really quick, just, you know, hey, how you doing?
It's me.
Then I'm out.
Your favorite.
I mean, we were doing like picks of the week.
Travis's pick of the week is the motion picture Mandy, starring Nick Cage, is now available to stream on Shudder or purchase on DVD and Blu-ray. And it is a wackadoo motion picture where normal Nick Cage turns into full Cage to go on a revenge spree against this weird religious cult. And it's not for everybody. I will say it is not for everybody, but I encourage you to give it a shot because it might absolutely be for you. It's insane.
I've been wanting to see it. And then I heard you might be familiar with the term, but they call it Cage-sploitation.
It's not Bad Lieutenant Nick Cage. But it is, it's not Wicker Man Nick Cage, but it is, it does get close. It straddles the borderline between like Bringing Out the Dead Nick Cage and Bad Lieutenant Nick Cage.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing. Like I had put on Twitter, it was like, if it was one of those movies, like when I was a teenager watching a lot of weird indie flicks and smoking a lot of weed, Mandy would have been my favorite movie, and it probably would still be to this day. And now as I'm a little bit older and I don't smoke a bunch of the weed, I can appreciate it. I really enjoyed it. But it is fucking out there. But watch Mandy and decide for yourself. It is definitely worth a watch.
Guys, my pick of the week is the new album from the Smashing Pumpkins. I went and saw the Smashing Pumpkins this past week. It was great.
What number time is that of seeing the Smashing Pumpkins?
Like 15,
Mike?
Travis. I've seen them a lot of times.
A lot of Smashing Pumpkins.
How many times have you seen the Smashing Pumpkins with your mom?
Twice. Yeah. What, Matt? Matt, I'm a 36-year-old man, Matt.
I mean, how many times have you, like,
Matt,
I can
in
see,
my lifetime, I've never once been cool. I'm not a cool guy, Matt.
With your mom, but how many times post-18 have you seen him with your mom?
I saw the Pumpkins with my mom when I was when I was 14 years old.
14, Matt. Yeah, once, okay, so once pre, but the second time,
Matt,
when you were like
18,
17, didn't have your license yet, right?
I bought concert tickets with the intention of going with my wife.
With your wife?
Was it a Mother's Day or something that you took your mom as an adult man to the pumpkins?
With your wife? Wow, you're just recently married.
Matt, I treated myself. I purchased great seats to see the Smashing Pumpkins. It's my favorite band, Matt.
Sure. I'm worried about your finances, Mike.
My wife, she was feeling ill. She was feeling under the weather. And
didn't feel well, right?
See, I was put to a choice, Matt.
I'll be honest with you. Many times have I purchased concert tickets with the intention of going with my wife, and then something happens where she can't go, and I throw one of my old pals on the list.
What? See, here's the thing, Matt. See, I could bring one of my pals, but like I'm not going to like be able to sell this ticket because like I love the Smashing Pumpkins and went way overboard on purchasing tickets. I'm not going to get the money back on that. So like, sure. Am I going to bring some dunderhead with me and eat the cost of the ticket? Or am I going to bring somebody who like will appreciate it and like I'm fine spending a good amount of money on a concert ticket for
it? Yes,
did your mom like the Smashing Pumpkins?
My mom went with me when she was 14. She was tickled to death to go again. Travis, it was fine. So yes,
you know what?
I went to a concert with my mom, Matt.
That's
pretty special that you did that. She took you when you were 14, and then you took her as an adult man.
And then 22 years later, we went and saw them again. Yeah,
yeah, that's really nice.
I wanted that to just sound more.
There was people a lot older than her there, and it was fun. It was a good fucking time. So
that's
a
nice bonding moment.
Yeah, Matt, I went to a concert with my mom, Hardy Har.
With his mommy.
What'd they end with?
Never going to be cool, Matt. Might as well not start now.
No, you came off better than I wanted you to.
You really came off really good here. Like, that's a repayment. Yeah, you really did.
You really spun that into fucking... Well,
you think you're going to make me feel like a dork, Matt?
No, I wanted everybody else to think you were a dork. I didn't care if you felt like a dork. I wanted other people to say, "God damn, Mike went to fucking Smashing Pumpkins with
his mom." They ended the show with Muzzle. That's what they've been.
And granted, it's the Smashing Pumpkins. It's not like Pantera.
Fair enough.
Yes. There was a drunk gentleman at the concert who took out an entire seat of or a row of seats and like walked them up and set them alongside the stage and then came back. So that he could dance. It was something special. But yeah.
What kind of shitty venue are you seeing these guys in that the seats are removable?
It was an opera house, Travis, and I do not believe there was any security there. It was there I never saw an usher. I never saw a security person. It was just a free for all.
So you could have smoked pandemonium. All the marijuana that you wanted to.
If we wanted to murder, we could have, Travis. It was all fine.
So there's a lot of ganja being puffed around there then.
So yeah. I showed you, Matt. I showed you.
Do you think that your mom would have like toked up with you given the opportunity?
No, Matt. No, we're adults, Matt. We don't
I understand. There's plenty of adults that toke up.
Play those silly games.
That
Matt.
Smoke the devil's lettuce.
Like tons of full stage
wacky tobacco is everywhere.
I follow not only man's law, but God's law.
Oh, my God.
God created.
You know what I'm saying? God's law, Matt, and man's law. All the laws. But what I was saying is.
You had it. You had it, Mike, and then you said that.
Guns out, funds out. Shake and shout, strike. Shake and shout, strike. The faces are faces on it. The faces on the cows. When I leave clothes, the miniature I'm stuck and sweep her house. Since I'm in the aperture drum.
want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. Be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at WFODshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. Email us Mike, Travis, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. Give us a call when we're live or when we're not live. Phone over there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Liquid Lozenge and Brian Kranz. If you'd like to contribute, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thank you, and goodbye.
Lots of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
Kick your fucking ass! I want you off the fucking set, you prick!
I'm sorry.
Now, don't just be sorry. Think for one fucking second. What the fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
Do I fucking walk around and rip that? No, shut the fuck up, Bruce. Do I want? No! No! Don't shut me up! Am I gonna walk around and rip your fucking lights down in the middle of a scene? Then why the fuck are you walking right through? Ah, da 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 da, like this in the background. What the fuck is it with you? What don't you fucking understand? You got any fucking idea about, hey, it's fucking distracting having somebody walking up behind Bryce in the middle of the fucking scene? Give me a fucking answer. What don't you get about it?
I was looking at the light.
Oh, good for you. And how was it? I hope it was fucking good because it's useless now, isn't it? Fuck's sake, man, you're amateur. McGee, you got fucking something to say to this prick?
I didn't see it happen.
Well, somebody should be fucking watching and keeping an eye on him.
Fair enough.
This is the second time that he doesn't give a fuck about what is going on in front of the camera.
All right?
All right? I'm trying to fucking do a scene here and I'm going, why the fuck is Shane walking in there? What is he doing there? Do you understand my mind is not in the scene if you're doing that? Stay off the fucking set, man. For fuck's sake. Right, let's go again. Let's not take a fucking minute. Let's go again! And let's not have you fucking walking in! Can I have Tom put this on, please?
Hey, Tom Wardrobe, please. Can I have Tom Wardrobe?
You're unbelievable, man. You're unfucking believable. Number of times you're strolling and fucking around in the background. I never had a DP behave like this. You don't fucking understand what it's like working with actors. That's what that is.
No, that's
what that is, man. I'm telling you. I'm not asking. I'm telling you. You wouldn't have done that otherwise.
No, what it is looking at the light and making sure that you are...
I'm going to fucking kick your fucking ass. You know, Christian, shut up Christian, for a Christian, second,
Christian,
all right?
Christian.
I'm gonna go. Do you want me to go fucking trash your lights? Do you want me to fucking trash them? Then why are you trashing my scene?
I'm not trying to trash.
You are trashing my scene. You do it one more fucking time, and I ain't walking on this set if you're still hired. I'm fucking serious. You're a nice guy. You're a nice guy, but I don't fucking cut it when you're bullshitting and fucking around like this on set. Yeah, you might get it. He doesn't fucking get it.
I get it.
You might.
I get it.
He does not get it.
And good adjustments, okay? For real. Honestly, I get it. Walk for 5 seconds.
No, I don't need any fucking walking. He needs to stop walking.
I get that.
I ain't the one walking. Let's get Tom and put this back on. Let's go again. Seriously, man, you and me, we're fucking done professionally. Fucking ass.